Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Hour number two of The Drive underway. Fox Sports Knoxville, Russell Bear and Brandon cruising along with you, taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200 if you want to hop on the McKinney team phone line. Talk about Florida's recruiting issues with Aussie Gator. He mentioned they've jumped up a little bit. They are up to number 19 on 247. We're number 12. According to Rivals, Florida is number 22. We're number 8. I've always said Rivals, much better, much more trusted analysis than 247. I mean, I think this is common.
See, the problem with being number 8 is that I know without even looking that Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, and maybe LSU are in front of us.
No, Georgia's number 1, Bama's number 2, A&M is number 3. That's what
ain't gonna
happen. That's going to be interesting to watch play out over the next couple of years.
You mark the tape if you want to. This may end up being my coldest of cold takes. I don't think Jimbo's that good. I think they're going to regret giving him that contract. I think he had Jameis Winston, and he played an incredibly weak ACC when he won it.
I think he's pretty darn good. I still
never see him beating Alabama.
I think if he can get them, if he recruits a couple more classes like that, and I believe he can, and LSU doesn't drop off significantly and Auburn doesn't drop off significantly, I think the SEC West could be about to cannibalize itself, which is fine for us sitting over here in the East. LSU's number 7, so Tennessee is number 2. This is according to Rivals. In the SEC East, South Carolina would be 3rd with the 16th best class. So if those numbers hold out, and they probably won't because it's recruiting, and this fluctuates wildly between now and National Signing Day, but you know, if this were a snapshot, Tennessee would make up a lot of ground this year in the talent gap, the talent race. We'll see how it plays out, though. Folks, really excited about our show Thursday. We're going to be live at Corner 16. This is our first remote at Corner 16. This is a great place. I was in there earlier today scouting the location. Their bar is fantastic. They've got TVs everywhere. They're part of the Copper Cellar family of restaurants, so they've got all the Smoky Mountain Brewery handcrafted beers on tap there. The food is outstanding. I told you I had takeout there Saturday night. They've got comfort food galore. You're going to love Corner 16. And again, this is our first remote there on Thursday. So we really want to have a good showing. I tweeted about it earlier, and immediately Grit and DC Coltrane RSVP'd. They said they will be there.
There'll be like a couple of bar stools. They'll be in there all day.
So I'm excited to see them. Would love to see you as well. Make plans to swing by Corner 16 and show a little support for a new sponsor here on Fan Run Radio. Show them a little love. They are out west. If you're taking Middlebrook towards Hardin Valley, right before you get to Hardin Valley, they're going to be on your left on the corner of Middlebrook and Bob Kirby Road. The address, if you want to put it in your GPS, is 1640 Bob Kirby Road. Corner 16 voted the best new restaurant in Knoxville by the New Sentinel Best of Knoxville Readers Poll last year. They've got a great patio out there too. Very unique patio with games and AstroTurf. They got the cornhole and horseshoes and all that stuff out there. So
giant Connect Four, didn't you say?
Yeah. Really cool stuff. You got to come out and check it out. That's Corner 16. We'll be there from 3 to 6 on Thursday live here on The Drive. Trevor is next on the show. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Hey, what's going on?
How much, man? How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, I saw where you had tweeted out that Brandon hadn't seen Rocky, and that really just that hurt me pretty bad.
It hurt me too. I mean, I don't know if I should be hurt, shocked, surprised, dumbfounded. I mean, did you not have movies growing up? Did you grow up in like some sort of Amish community where
he grew up in Rutledge, man? They don't have a movie theater up there.
Stone Hollow Road.
that? Spoon Hollow Road, that is correct.
Really?
No, there's no, I mean, there, no, there's no, you're right, there's no,
no
movie
there's
theater.
No, there's no movie theater up there.
Had to go to Morristown.
Have to get in the wagon.
Load up the wagon, kids. It's family movie night. We're going over to the big city. Head down to Rutledge.
Hey, what's your favorite Rocky movie out of all the
easy for me. 4.
No.
Yeah, don't even have to think twice about it.
That's the right answer. That's the right answer.
Ivan Drago, are you kidding me?
Number 1 was the best.
Rocky 4, Rocky single-handedly ends the Cold War.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true. That happened. Science.
That and we go to the Russians into spending all their money on missiles.
I must break you. I mean, Dolph Lundgren in the role he was born to play.
Swede playing.
Bridget Nielsen.
Ooh, that's right. She was.
If he dies, he dies.
I must break you.
Hey, do you have any news on, I'm sure I haven't listened to the first hour, but I don't know if Phil or anybody called in. Any news on Josiah James announcing yet for his basketball?
He is scheduled to announce tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. at his high school in Charleston, South Carolina. So,
and the alderman's up next, Phil. I guess we'll find out from him.
Oh, man.
Supposed to be between Tennessee and Clemson, according to the quote-unquote experts.
Yeah, well, you know what's going to happen if Rick Barnes doesn't pull him. You're gonna have quite a few calls tomorrow.
That's a good point. I don't want to do the show tomorrow if this kid doesn't come here. The Barnes Bashers will be inconsolable. Actually, not inconsolable. They'll be over the moon because they get to peddle their ridiculous narrative for another day.
I mean, I guess answer this for me is, have we ever been like in on this many 5-stars? I mean, I know it's not enough just to, you know, be in on these guys and miss out, but I can't remember when we were like, you know, consistently even getting these guys to come visit and seriously consider, you know, playing for a basketball program.
Oh, I mean, Bruce Pearl was in on elite prospects pretty much every year after his first season here. Konzo Martin signed Robert Hubbs and was in on a couple of other big time players. I can't remember if Donnie Tindall was in on any elite level prospects, which is hard to imagine given his recruiting methods. But you know, Barnes has been, I mean, he is always a bridesmaid, never a bride at Tennessee. I mean, he has had many 4- and 5-star prospects that it looked like Tennessee led for, or, you know, was close to getting and just couldn't seal the deal at the end.
That's the thing. See, I almost forgot about Hubs being a 5-star. Scotty Hawson, was he like one of the highest rated players we ever had?
He was a 5-star. He was probably the highest. Yeah, I mean, according to the recruiting gurus out there, I think he was the highest guy that we signed. Duke Cruz and Ramar Smith were 5-stars. Wayne Chisholm was a high 4-star. And obviously, Tobias Harris was a 5-star, and he might have been even higher rated than Hobson.
Yeah, I mean, no shots to those guys, but I mean, you know, a lot of our best players, you know, weren't 5-stars. I mean, no. I've said it before. You know, I'll take a 3-star that gets developed into a, you know, an NBA player versus a 5-star that comes here and kind of has an average career. So I mean, it should be nice to get some 5-stars, but I mean, I'm not gonna cry about it if we don't. So. Hey, you guys have a good one. I'll probably talk to you later this week.
Thank you, Trevor. Appreciate the phone call. Phil is next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
How are you saying, W?
What's up, Phil?
How you, Brandon and Bear Bryant, doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Where's this sports bar at? What kind of food they serve down there?
Oh, man. Corner 16 is amazing. Again, it's out west off Middlebrook, 1640 Bob Kirby Road. I had turkey and stuffing there. I mean, it's comfort.
Oh, really? Food, that's my kind of food there.
Phil, if you love turkey and stuffing, and I do, you got to come to you got to check it out at Corner 16. It's great.
Food's great. It's one of Mike Chase's places.
Well, he's a dominating in Oxnard. You know, might end up being in politics pretty soon too. Not interested in it.
Yeah.
Guys got great food.
They've got a lot of, you know, an extensive list of appetizers and stuff, you know, just it's not I'm not going to lie and tell you it's the healthiest place in the world, but
you
will enjoy it, yes.
Yeah. Well, let's start first with this last caller. I have no idea. I hope we get him. I mean, this time tomorrow I'm going to be either happy or sad, so I'm just hoping for the best.
Yep. And, you know, if they strike out on him, we're out there punching and swinging with LeCue.
Yeah, Andy, and you got McBride. I mean, there's players they can get. I mean, you just got to keep recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, Barnes is going to fill out his roster with quality players. And he has shown a unique ability to develop and get the most out of players that other coaches in this league would overlook. So
that being said, though, Debbie, we're one guard away from being great. I mean, it's not that. I mean, you know basketball. I know basketball. Yeah, I guess everybody in Knoxville, most people know basketball. Just watch us. We don't have one go-to player when it's money time. We don't have it.
We don't have that guy with jets in his shoes that can create his own shot whenever he wants it. I think, though, that Jordan Bone, as he continues to develop, and Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden, I don't think any of these guys are finished products. And I think they will all take another step this year and then another step the year after. And I think that they will be very, very good. You know, maybe not dominant, maybe not first-round pick material, but I think they'll be fantastic college basketball players these next 2 years.
Well, kind of like Jordan McRae and Richardson end up being?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent comparison. Those guys are long. I know people are listening and saying, oh, you know, those guys are 6'4", 6'5", with long arms, and, you know, these guys aren't necessarily. Bone is fast, man. Jordan Bowden is long, and he can really shoot it. And Lamonte, he might not be the fastest guy in the world. He might not be the tallest, longest guy in the world, but he's just a baller, man. I mean, he's just competitive and not afraid to take a big shot.
He's kind of caught Chris Lofton a little bit. I mean, he's got, you know.
They all play off each other really well and bring different things to the table.
But this UT Florida game, you know, it's good to hear Ossie Gator. I haven't seen him since back Spurrier was in his heyday. I mean, he's a great guy. He's one of the few Gator fans I actually respect.
Well, I appreciate him calling the show.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, the Florida fans have been humbled. I mean, you know, but they've really been humbled because they used to be up on cloud nine. Now they're, you know.
But it's like
we're down the sewer with them, you know what I'm saying?
Is it like Brian Edwards said in our first hour? He said, that's a fan base that has got spoiled watching the best offense in the country under Spurrier and then Urban Meyer lighting up the scoreboard. And they've had 8 consecutive seasons of just boring, terrible, conservative, dull, bland, lifeless offense. And, you know, they've been better than us. They've gone to 2 SEC championship games during that time frame, Phil. But at least we've had some explosive offenses to watch. It's been fun at times.
Well, yeah. But you're sitting there talking about we didn't blow Butch out, this, that, and the other. The problem with UT is they don't blow coaches out when they should have. And you look at it, they used the same criteria they did to fire John Majors. They would have fired Fulmer in 2005. They would have fired Butch 2 years ago.
They weren't going to fire a national championship-winning coach after his first losing season ever, Phil.
He won a national championship, but he hadn't done nothing in 10 years.
But here's the difference. You want to compare it to the Majors thing in 92. We had Fulmer sitting right there.
I'll tell you what. In 88, we could have fired Majors then and had Spurrier, and Fulmer would have never even stepped foot on the campus. Hmm. What would have been then? Put that in your pipe, smoke it.
I mean, testy. It's Florida week. Phil's a little testy.
A little testy. He's watched his tone.
I mean, if we had the next big and upcoming can't miss head coaching prospect in 2005 underneath Fulmer,
they still weren't going to fire a guy who just.
But the point is, Barrett, you could. In 92, yeah, it was traumatic to fire Johnny Majors, but if we didn't, we were going to lose Fulmer, who we knew because we had seen it that year. Head coach.
I mean, I agree with you there, but I don't. Fulmer wasn't and didn't deserve to get fired in 2005.
I agree.
I mean, I and that's what gets him all hot and bothered because he, you know, he can't stand for anybody to question that his viewpoint on that.
So we're that's working fine, but I mean,
that's one of his dumbest things he ever talks about is how Fulmer should have been fired in 2005.
I mean, it's no dumber than Butch Jones should have been fired after his third or fourth year. You just
no, he'd already lost to Vanderbilt.
Fulmer lost to Vanderbilt.
He also had a national championship for us.
Okay, but I mean, he went five.
He was like 158-50.
Fulmer was 5-6 in 2005. Butch Jones was 9-4 in 2015-2016. I'm not taking up for Butch. I'm not taking up for either one of them. I'm just saying.
I just think the whole 2005 thing is just
here's
as dumb as it gets.
Here's the false narrative. Florida fires guys at the drop of a dime, and we hang on to them. Well, we couldn't fire our guys. And the fact of the matter is, Florida fired Ron Zook after he went 4-7. Or was he had a lackluster year, a lackluster tenure. They fired Muschamp after he had a stinker. And they fired their guy last year when he went 4-7. So, what are we, you know, it's not like they made some super bold decision to fire a guy at the top of his game. They fired clowns when they were exposed as clowns, just the same way we do. The menu at I saw you looking at the Corner 16 menu. What do you think?
Thinking about going by there as soon as we get off the air today.
Fried pickled green tomatoes, stuffed jalapenos, vegetable cheese
plates. You didn't tell me, and we've got a
loaded tater tots.
They've got like a real
smoked sausage and cheese plate.
Did you say that they had fried green tomatoes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fried green pickled.
Fried pickled tomatoes.
But the thing that intrigues me is the soda shop. House-made sodas and phosphates.
Yeah.
Like egg creams. Like, are these a real deal?
Yeah. They have like root beer floats and stuff. I'm telling you, we had that sea salt caramel milkshake, my daughter and I.
You liked it? Like,
you know, and it cost $5.
That's all right.
But it's like in Pulp Fiction, Brandon doesn't know what we're talking about.
No.
But Vincent Vega takes
Mia. I've seen Mia, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
So you know when Vincent Vega takes Mia Wallace to Jack Rabbit Slim.
Yeah.
And she orders a $5 milkshake. And he says, I got to taste some of that. I just got to know what a $5 milkshake tastes like. And he says, that's pretty damn good. Well, that's exactly what I said when I sipped the sea salt caramel milkshake. It's like, whew. Sorry, sweetheart, but I believe I'm going to have to now drink half of this. Good stuff, man. It's good.
Father of the year. That's what I always say.
Why don't we continue? More of your phone calls, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the McKinney Team Hotline, we'll also get your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Mortgage Pro, Chris Burleson, and the Kregner Group coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive. This is The Drive.
See that brunch menu at Corner 16?
Yeah. You want to go this Sunday?
You can go Saturday. It's Saturday and Sunday, 10:30 to 2:30.
I'm going to be extremely busy this Saturday.
They got waffles. You can get chicken and waffles, sausage and waffles, sausage biscuits and gravy.
I'm going on Sunday.
Get yourself an omelet. Are you an omelet guy?
Yeah. Like omelets, like scrambled eggs. I'm not big on like the over easy, over medium, over hard.
I've never been a big omelet guy.
I mean, the only people that eat over hard are just, I don't know. Just
are what?
Real basic people. Just knuckle draggers.
Yeah.
Oh, you're an over hard guy? Are you, Oryk?
Yeah, I am.
Really?
I don't just like.
Don't like any of the runny?
No.
Don't like it runny?
Nope.
I did when I was a kid, but I don't like it runny.
Give it over easy, man.
I like them scrambled.
I want to mop that up with toast.
I like scrambled too, but sometimes you got to mix it up.
I make the greatest scrambled eggs ever.
John Tweet is next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Tweet.
Hello.
Yes.
Over easy is the only way to get your eggs.
My man.
You know, you can make them on a sandwich with some toast, you know, a little bacon in there, and then you just let it slop all up and sop it up with bread.
You're speaking my language. That's good stuff right there.
It's God's eggs. Over easy.
The way they were meant to be.
Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even eat scrambled eggs. I can't stand them.
Scrambled eggs, you stop eating your eggs scrambled when you start to sprout chest hair. I mean, that's just kind of, I think, a known fact of life, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're over the age of 6 and a half, scrambled eggs are no good. I will do an egg scramble, you know what I mean? Like a little bowl with some sausage and some peppers and stuff like that. And some, you know, a little bit of cheese in there and some scrambled eggs. I'll do that from time to time, but...
That's like a lazy guy's Denver omelet. That's what it sounds like.
Let me ask you guys this. If we had fired Fat Phil back in 05, could we not have hired Saban? Rotund Phil? Is that better?
I don't think he should have been fired in 2005.
Wouldn't we have been able to hire Saban? He was hired that year, was he not?
No, he had... 2005 was his first year
with the Dolphins.
So I'm just trying to remember. So, well, I'm trying to figure out how this falls. Whenever Tennessee's coaching vacancies come, they're basically right after the coach you would want to have.
I don't think Saban would have been as successful.
He was hired
here.
In 06, right?
07.
At 06, I don't know.
Oh, Saban left LSU after the 2004 season and coached the 05 and 06 season with the Miami Dolphins, left right at the end of the 06 season and took over Alabama beginning in 2007.
I still don't think he would have been that successful here even if we had hired him, in 2007?
Guys, this is la-la land. Tennessee was never going to hire Nick Saban. The timing didn't work out. And quite frankly, we didn't have the – kahunas to make a run at that kind of coach. It's just...
Well, that can completely turn over the program to him and allow him to...
It was never going to happen.
Break every rule in the book in recruiting.
But I don't think that... You think they're still doing that, Bear? I mean, any different than anybody else is.
If you go, it's really simple. The only time I go look at like recruits or commitments is after they sign with Alabama. Keep an eye on their Twitter feeds. They're all dumb enough to put the pictures on social media. People
are
putting together videos of slideshows. Yeah. Yes, they still cheated Alabama.
I mean, we need to cheat harder then. We're not – our cheaters suck. We can't cheat in basketball. We can't cheat in football, right? I mean, we suck.
It's not that we can't cheat in basketball. We have a coach who says he's not going to do it.
I don't think that's it. I mean, that might be a part of it, but I think the powers that be, the ones that actually contribute to the cheating, aren't really down with contributing to the cheating as much as they need to contribute to the cheating in order for us to secure the talent that we need to secure. I think their commitment level in terms of basketball is low.
I mean, you can't argue with the – I guess you can.
You going to have this argument again?
I don't have the stomach for it. No, no. I'm sorry. I don't.
Let's see what happens with JJ, your boy, Josiah James. I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, I hope we get him. It's certainly something to build around. You mentioned Lamont. I still don't see Lamonte Turner being – I'd see him being like he's not afraid to shoot, and he was a better defender last year than he was the previous year. So, Russ, I do agree with you there. I think we could get better. I've been trying to find an analogy for this game coming up, boys, and I just can't – like what to compare it to.
Probably that one back – the year the 12 what was the 12-10 game, Neon Freon?
Oh god! That one where we
10-9 game.
Had a turnover right like on their half the field, and then we turned it right back over to them.
Yeah, like, I think it's got the potential for that game to break out again.
That was when what are you calling? Not Nathan Peterman. Who's the kid they kept trying to run the speed option with him?
Justin Worley.
Yes, the Whirlicopter.
Florida had. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Dante was Dante on that defensive line. Fowler, from the Jags now,
maybe.
Pretty sure he was on that team. On that defensive line that year, for Florida was unreal.
Well, we had that. Wasn't that our good offensive line year? The one we had all the players from before.
No, that was Butch's first year, 2013. He had inherited Tiny Richardson and Juwan James and Stone and. All those guys, and then the second year, those guys left, and it was kind of rough.
Patchwork.
But still, I mean, Tennessee led that game 9-0. We were in complete control of that game. It should have been about 24-0. And
he was the quarterback they brought in.
You, Trevon Harris, you could see it coming a mile away. Yeah, you knew at 9-0 in the fourth quarter, and as soon as that dude comes in, like, you knew exactly what's going to happen. They're going to score a touchdown here. They're going to kick a field goal, and we're not going to be able to do anything.
Who did he
We're
going to
lose. And then they just did it. Jeff Driscoll was absolutely terrible. And then it's
Did he break his ankle in that game?
Was that
the game we broke his ankle?
No, he got yanked.
No, we broke his leg the year before, didn't we?
Yeah, I want to say that happened in the swamp.
Was that the same game where Peterman? All that stuff just runs together.
It makes me – I can't talk about it, man. I got so mad. That was the genesis of the nature hike. It was the 2014 Florida game. I vowed right there. I was so angry, so pissed off. Emotionally devastated, I said, I'm not watching this game anymore. And I didn't watch the 2015 Florida game. I've never seen it. I never will see it.
Which one was that? The one we – I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
House of Horrors.
I know we lost.
The Chart game?
That was the 4th and 14, the Chart. Yeah.
Chart game?
Chart. Oh, yeah.
And the goat play where Dobbs rolled out and laid down and curled up in the fetal position?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Trying to run the clock off.
It's so weird for me. I've seen pretty much every Tennessee football game since 1987, except for that one.
You really didn't watch that one.
I just didn't watch it.
Come on. We were up. I was sitting there like, we're going to win this. We were up pretty decent.
You
in that
idiot.
Game.
Like, you thought we were going to win that game? What a moron.
I will say this. The year Butch beat them here, or in Knoxville, excuse me, there. That's the most fun I've ever had in that stadium, by far. When we got down,
that's really, really sad.
I was at the 98 game. I mean, I was there for that. I mean, but that's the best win I've ever seen live. It just a sense of relief would be the best way to describe it. Mm. We hammered that team. Hammered them.
I'm trying to think what my favorite would be.
I've seen us lose to Oklahoma there. That was garbage. I saw us beat Florida in 98. It's between those two. Those are the two best ones I've been to, I think. 98 Florida and that one Florida. But anyways. Boys, I'm serious, I don't know how to describe it. I was thinking this like maybe like the two hottest girls on Vault Twitter send you, you know, topless pics. I mean, yeah, they're biz, but nobody really wants to see them. Good day.
Quick timeout. On the Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
At Corner 16, you won't just find something on the menu you like, you'll find something you crave. Corner 16 features a laid-back, family-friendly atmosphere. Your kids will love playing games on the patio while you enjoy live music on the weekend. And you gotta check out their brunch, served Saturdays and Sundays from 10:30 till 2:30. Order online at corner16.com and pick it up curbside or stop by Corner 16 at 1640 Bob Kirby Road. Find your happy place at Corner 16.
Hello, I'm your website. And I'm way too slow. All your potential customers have already left. Sorry.
Does your website need a speed tune-up? 245 Tech is your web solution. Give them a call, 865-465-4040, or visit online at 245tech.com.
Bye.
Hi, this is Bo Kregner with the Kregner Group, committed to delivering the highest quality real estate service possible. At the Kregner Group, we know selling your home can be a stressful situation. Our highly organized and effective marketing plan will take the pressure off you so you can get on with the process of finding your next home. Call us today for a free consultation at 865-742-1035 or visit our website at boknowshouses.com.
Hey Vols fans, Chris Burleson, your local mortgage pro. Are you thinking about buying, building, and refinancing this upcoming football season? Let me and my team get you into the checkerboard. Simply text the word Mortgage Pro to 48421 or visit BurlesonMortgageTeam.com. Exceptional service, great rates, and definitely not a rookie when it comes to real estate gridiron. Give my team a call today, 865-388-7634. Hope to see you at the game. Go Vols, NMLS number 332941.
Russell Smith here for Crown Cleaners. You know Crown for sponsoring our Crown Pick of the Week college football contest and the Crown King of the Brackets NCAA tournament contest. What you may not have heard is they have a free pickup and delivery service. While it still comes down to location, 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 Crown brings the location to you. Twice a week, Crown will come to your home or office and provide that unparalleled service that they've provided for over 50 years. Go to crowncleaners.com and click on the big blue van for more information.
It's time for the North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week. Brought to you by North Knox Siding and Windows. Call 865-689-0505 or visit them online at northknoxsidingandwindows.com.
This week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week is Gibbs High School running back Ethan Humphreys. Humphreys carried the ball 21 times for a grand total of 188 yards and two touchdowns in the Eagles' 34-27 win over Campbell County last Friday night. Gibbs High School running back Ethan Humphreys, this week's North Knox Siding and Windows High School Football Player of the Week.
North Knox Siding and Windows, locally owned and operated, they can handle all your siding, window, gutter, and roofing needs. Call 865-689-0505 for a free estimate or go online to northknoxsidingandwindows.com.
Thanks for hanging with us. Now, let's get back to the drive.
It is the Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the dynamic duo of Bo Kregner with the Kregner Group and the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson. Tennessee back out on the practice field this afternoon, getting ready for Florida.
Go Gator.
Vols and Gators kick off 7 o'clock Saturday night in Neyland Stadium. ESPN has telecast Gators a 4-point favorite. Tennessee will be getting an official visit from a Michigan running back commitment this weekend. The visitor list is long. We'll go through it later on this week, but a new name that was just reported last night who will be here, Eric Gray, running back out of Memphis, four-star kid, a little small on the 5'10", 190-pound range, but decent player, and Tennessee doesn't have a running back commitment, so he'll be in town this weekend. Basketball, Josiah James announcing tomorrow morning. 6'6", point guard from Charleston, South Carolina. Reportedly, set to choose between Tennessee and Clemson. And we didn't hit this yesterday, Bear, but interesting item here. UT president Joe DiPietro announced his retirement date yesterday.
Yeah.
We've known he planned to retire by the end of the year, but didn't know when. Now,
oh, I did.
You knew.
Yeah, when? We heard him talking to somebody. He's kind of. He didn't say the exact date.
Where?
Same place I always would run into him.
At the P Trough in Neyland Stadium. Where did you see Joe DiPietro?
Yeah. Just would see him every couple of weeks.
What are you talking about, man? Where did you see it? What?
Come on, Bear.
You knew when you had breaking news, and you just weren't gonna.
Yeah, because it's kind of like what happens at that place. You just don't. Just yeah.
What in Vegas?
No.
What's happening right now? What is Bear doing? Does do you
know
Brandon?
Your segment?
No.
Rick, do you know what Bear's doing right now?
What's that supposed to mean, Rick?
All right. Anyway, DiPietro's retirement date is February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2019. But he will use his remaining vacation time to step down from active service on November 21st. My man's got 3 months of vacation? How do you ever let that much vacation accumulate? I've never had a job where you had vacation time accumulate. Have you?
Yeah, one time.
It's such a foreign concept to me.
Vacation time, and then they had, it was something called flex time. Like if you worked out, because you couldn't get, it was for the state, you couldn't get paid overtime. So it was called flex time you could use.
Yeah.
And then you had like, I had so many sick days that I would never use them.
I've never had a defined vacation policy. It's just like, hey, I'm leaving for a week.
When I left that job, I got a paycheck for like 4.5 months.
Really?
My accrued time.
It's pretty cool.
It was awesome.
So that is your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Craigner Group. My guy, Bo Craigner, getting it done. If you need a realtor, this is the guy to call. He has an in-depth knowledge of the local real estate market. And as I've said several times now, the number one thing he does is take the pressure off the client so that you can make the most clear and concise decisions throughout the process. Very stressful ordeal, of course, moving, selling your house, finding a new house, moving into it. And the Craigner Group has been through this many, many times, and they know how to make it easy on you. When you find your new home, you're going to need a mortgage. You call my guy, Chris Burleson, the Mortgage Pro. He did the mortgage for the new Stately Smith Manor. He would love to do your mortgage. Big Tennessee guy and has been doing mortgages here in town for a long, long time. I've been knowing him for 10 years, and he is a fine, trustworthy, upstanding Tennessee fan. Call him at 865-388-7634, 388-7634. Just visit his website, burlesonmortgageteam.com. Let's grab a phone call from Zach. Good afternoon, Zach. You're up next on the drive.
Well, it's at W.
What's up, Zach?
How are you and Baron Brandon doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Thank you.
Hey, Dubs, I know you hate programming suggestions, but this is the only time I'll do it, I promise.
Oh, God. What do you want?
I know. The favorite Florida Hate Week theme was when Tennessee Tom was going to jump off the damn bridge. Phil had his one of his best calls ever where he said, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You ain't going to do it, W. You ain't going to do it. Where's that music that we used to play?
Man, this is like...
That's in the drive folder.
It blows me away. Like, I cannot remember, like, what I said last hour on the show. And people will stop me all the time and be like, hey, do you remember this thing that happened, like, 3 years ago on the show? I'm like, no, I don't remember.
it was 0-4-0-4-tuna. I can never say it right.
0-4-tuna.
Oh.
0-4-tuna.
That was, yeah. 2 years ago, I think we can define that. I think that's in the system somewhere.
It's in the system. Yeah.
Like Florida Week or something?
Y'all played it last year, too.
Right? Florida Hate Week.
Yeah, we got to find that. We'll look for it, Zach. Thank you. Good suggestion. That's actually a good programming suggestion. Thank you, Zach.
Unlike 99% of them we get from Phil.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of Phil's most... Of course, I know you... I'm not sure if you guys know this, but... I think Phil's one of the best callers in history, but I thought that was one of his legacy calls. I mean, I can remember Phil calls from 5 years ago. That's how much he's impacted the show and the community with his knowledge. So, yeah, I'm not sure if you guys, I've told you that before, but
yeah,
wanted to make that known.
I think he's kind of losing his fastball myself, but
the Alderman.
He's still got up.
You got demand.
Guys, you know, I guess it's my generation, but I think Bear, you would say the most hated team that you probably hates Alabama, but
Georgia.
By far, oh, yeah, that's right, Georgia now. Well, my most hated team always has been Florida, and I think it's because of the era I grew up in with Tennessee and Florida in the 90s, and I feel like that was the one team that we couldn't get past where we would have had several more SEC championship or chances to play the title.
Sure.
And I still can't stand their fan base. I know they've been beat down, but They still think they're going to come in here and win. I really believe that. And history shows that they're right. But I still hate them. And some of that fires went away because we've sucked and they've sucked. But I think when the game starts, guys, I think all that will come back. Now, if we go out there and play a lackluster game, maybe we're thinking a little bit twice about that. But I still can't stand them and hope that they lose and hope Mullen fails. So with that, good day, guys. Have a good show. See ya.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate the phone call. Now, this is from the 2 years ago, 2016, the week leading up to it. And keep in mind, the streak was at what? 11 years at that point?
Yeah, we were 3-0 going years? Into the game, weren't we? Because this was the year that we went Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, we were 3-0, and the town was suffering from a nervous breakdown. This fan base, if we had lost that game in 2016 to Florida, I don't know, the whole – There may have been a hole in the earth open up and swallow the stadium whole. I don't know what would have happened, but tensions were running high on the drive.
Callers can call in, talk negative, bash what they did last week, week prior. Go for it. Have at it. Because when UP wins this weekend, I don't want everybody calling back and saying this, that, or the other. They could have done this. You guys don't have any enthusiasm on the air. And all y'all want to do is look backwards. Hey, dry your tears, media. It's okay. It could be a pull by Butch. Don't worry about what he did. Because what he's saying right now, when they come up and win, all the media is going to look like a bunch of jerks.
Tennessee, Tom, what are you going to do if Tennessee loses Saturday? Or are you just not entertaining?
Dude, I'm
going to
jump off the damn bridge, okay? I'm going to. But I am thinking that
way. Suicide on the drive.
I heard the clone yesterday make a statement, which I totally agree. We all see what y'all think, that Bush Jones is in over his head.
But here's the thing. I mean,
here's the thing. It's true. Well, Jamie's right. Well,
here's the thing. What do you mean?
The guy is a complete idiot.
But if he wins,
he ain't gonna win. You know it, and I know it. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
It's only Monday.
Phil's already lost it.
Friday night, I'm at the Monkees concert, their last show. All the three surviving members of the Monkees in Hollywood. I'm partying at the after show with writers and actors from shows like Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. The next morning, I go to the airport to board my Southwest flight. I find out I got no Wi-Fi, so I can't follow the game while I'm in the air. Not only that, I pay for early bird check-in, only to find out I get a morbidly obese guy taking up half my seat that I paid for. And then I ran and find out we barely beat Ohio and got half our players hurt. You want to tell you that the coaching malpractice? They're too scared to get Dobbs hurt to run him like the quarterback he is, yet they're going to put Jalen Reeves-Maven in when we're dicked in at linebacker on special teams? Against the MAC team? Are you kidding me? We got no chance this weekend. I don't care if Del Rio's hurt. It doesn't matter. How many second and third string Gator quarterbacks have we made look like Heisman candidates through the years? We are through! That's all I got.
Good Lord.
Go Gator.
We are screwed! Phil and Wes and Franklin... Tennessee Tom stopped calling the show. I think that way, like, he had some sort of breakdown that week. Phil.
He called after that.
Phil went. I mean, he was in the damn nut house. And Wes and Franklin. I don't even know what that was at the end. That was a long week, man. 2016 Florida week. This place was coming apart at the seams. That was an ugly week.
It continued to come apart at the seams until halftime.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough.
Oh, Tom got mad at you because you said you were going on the hike, and then you tweeted out the picture from the stands with the guys from,
North Knox Siding and Windows.
North Knox Siding and Windows took you to the game.
I was going to go on the nature hike, and North Knox Siding and Windows.
Yeah, I showed up to your house for the hike.
They threatened. They threatened to pull all their advertising dollars. What am I supposed to do? I got a family
they
to feed.
They did man. Not.
You don't believe me?
No, I think they called up and like, hey, Russ, you want to go to the Florida game? Sure.
I'm you don't believe here. Me? You don't believe me? Do I have to get Michael Smith on the air
and
set you straight?
As you were walking out the door of Stately Smith Mary, you told Mrs. Dubs not to answer the door if I came knocking, act like nobody was home. I was ready to go on the hike. I had sandwiches.
You never knock on my door. I tell Mrs. Dubs never to answer any phone calls from you, kind of like I do. Straight to voicemail.
One day I'm going to like really, really need you for something.
Oh, do your parents never read you The Boy Who Cried Wolf Bear?
I've never cried wolf. Every time I called and left a voicemail.
A profanity-laced tirade on Tennessee. I'm not listening to that. You are going to call one. You're going to be in jail and want me to come bail you out. And I'm not going to answer the phone because I'm just going to assume it's some sort of Butch Jones profanity-laced tirade. And I don't need that.
I'm calling Brandon or Cody.
Well, we're going to talk about them. We're gonna deal with these knuckleheads, these fools.
Oh, with the situation.
We're gonna unpack that. The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive. Hold on to your fanny packs, ladies. This is The Drive.
The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. They'll come to you. Visit their website at reckintoacheck.com. Now, to the docket.
Police in Ohio seized nearly 100 marijuana plants.
I'm not a grass expert.
Along with 500 pounds of processed weed and dozens of blank. Quickly.
Sheets of water acid?
No. Although that's a weird response. Cats!
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it was a drug bust.
Police say they investigated the property. They found a large number of tall marijuana plants being camouflaged by sunflowers in the backyard. A search warrant was executed on the home, and deputies recovered approximately 500 pounds of processed weed worth about $600,000, 95 marijuana plants, and 43 cats.
Whoa.
43! Male occupant of the home, 59-year-old Greg Grossholtz, was charged with felony manufacture of drugs or cultivation of marijuana. The cats were turned over to family members who arrived on the scene.
I wonder why you wouldn't want cats around that.
You would think not. You would think not.
They destroy it. You know, it's closely related to catnip.
Yeah. Oh, really? Interesting. That is The Docket, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Check them out online at reckintoacheck.com. They'll come to you and turn your wreck into a check. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.
The Drive.